Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast. If this is your first time listening, welcome. We are deep diving all the episodes of Grey's.
We are currently in season 14, episode 18, 19, 20. I'm going to hold back the river. Do you know that song?
Hold back the river. It's James.
I hate it so much.
Oh, you hate it.
You want to know why?
Why?
It was, you know, when like a playlist plays at work and the same songs play over and over. Since I started there 6 years ago, that song has like creeped into every playlist. Only wanna. Hate it.
What's his name?
I don't know.
James.
I choose not to know. And then we have Beautiful Dreamer and Judgment Day.
Yes. Most important thing here in the beginning is to let you know about our Patreon account. If you would like to support us, you can do so by going to patreon.com/theoncallroom, where you can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. By helping that, you also get some bonuses. You get access to our Facebook account, which is a private group where we have really fun Grey's discussion. We have, you get the episode a day early. You get bonus episodes, you get Zoom hangouts, which we need, are going to schedule one here soon. It's just really fun. And it's really, honestly, the only way that we can continue to do this podcast weekly. So we are really grateful to all of our patrons.
Yes. Other ways that you can support us, leave a review anywhere you listen, 5 scalpels, 5 stars, hit that. Clap.
Smash that like button.
Is that what it is? I don't know.
I don't know. Okay. I think that's what YouTubers would say.
Cool, cool.
Smash it.
Also, you can follow us on Instagram at The On-Call Room Pod. And then finally, if you are a $10 patron, you get a post-op, an extra 5 to 10 minutes when we call time of death. You know the drill. This week, we're talking about Joe kind of stepping in to help Meredith and stepping into her own
power
as a surgeon.
So. Exactly. Also, I have to say, for podcasting for all of these years, talking like to you in this comes naturally. Mm-hmm. But I had to try to record myself because I'm trying to make a TikTok for the fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And that was not natural.
No.
It was so hard.
It's really hard to record yourself without someone else. Like, I don't know how people do like stream of consciousness
podcasts
because I could like do that in the shower, but knowing that it was being recorded would like send me off to a place that I wouldn't be able to do it.
You know where else you did a stream of consciousness that segues into the topic I'd like to speak on next is that you had a stream of consciousness out loud while you were in a water slide on Monday.
So we went to, guys, you saw on, if you follow the Instagram, you saw that we stood in front of a carousel.
We rode the carousel. I chose a deer.
Jake chose a pig.
I chose the pig for him.
I chose a really beautiful horse.
With a
tiny head, though.
John's had a tiny head.
Okay. Beautiful stallion. Kind of looked like Shadowfax. It was really nice. The boys didn't seem too enthused. John was like on Reddit on the carousel. He's like, what?
He was looking up the history of like Michigan's adventure. I was like,
We were having the time of our lives. But yeah, we went to a theme park. Michigan's Adventure we did a couple of years ago. I didn't tell you this, but when we got home, John was like, Michigan's Adventure is kind of gross. And I was like, yeah, dude. Like, I was like, did you feel that way about Disney? He was like, absolutely not. Like, Disney is a level of like,
they have a lot more money. They couldn't even fully staff Michigan's Adventure.
Yeah.
No one's cleaning those bathrooms.
No one's cleaning those bathrooms.
They can barely run the Dippin' Dots machine.
No one's cleaning anything there. Did you notice like every time we did something, John was like, is there any hand sanitizer around
here?
Yeah,
I tried not to think about it.
I think too.
I could have COVID.
Because I asked him like, did you feel that way last time we were there? And he was like, no, but that was pre-COVID.
Yes.
So I think like our mindset is a little different.
Well, how close you are to people. You just sit on things that other people sat on.
So a couple key things happened. Number one, yes, I went down a covered water slide.
Like a dark one, pitch black.
Pitch black. And I realized while I was going down it, I was talking to myself. I was like, hey, it's pretty dark in here. Whoa, that was a big one. Just having a full-on conversation with myself.
It really, like, that feeling of being on a tube and it going like, whew, like up to the side is quite shocking. It's honestly kind of incredible, like, engineering of a tube that you don't fly off.
So a little sidebar here. Yes. We were telling John, we had John's family over for dinner and we were the next day and telling them about Michigan's Adventure. And they told us about this water park, this documentary on HBO Max that, like, shut down because, like, It was so bad.
Ooh, like, I need to watch that.
Engineers did not make it. People were like, wouldn't it be cool if like a water slide went upside down? Yeah. And they made it.
So, and then people died.
Probably. Yeah, so we're going to watch that. Number two, that happened. Abby got stuck on the corkscrew.
Okay, so the corkscrew is one of those where it's on a lap bar. It goes over your shoulders because mm-hmm. it is a corkscrew. It goes upside down. And I will describe it as like, you know, when a seatbelt locks on you mm-hmm. and the only way to get it unlocked is to fully have it go tight again and then yeah. whatever. Well, I had that happen where it was like, it was super tight. And I asked the guy, I was like, can you loosen this? Like, I don't
want to. This is before the ride had started.
Before the ride, but you're all lining up, they're testing seatbelts. And it was like hard to breathe and not quite. It was just too tight. I asked if he could loosen it. So he pushed it down to like make it pop up and it just locked one more thing tighter. And he was like, oh. He's like, oh, we'll fix it after the ride. Meanwhile, like it was really tight.
But it's funny because after the ride, we all get up and Abby is stuck and like they're trying to unlock it. And this had happened to a poor little kid 2 years ago on a different roller coaster there. And it's not like really you're like stuck or anything. You don't go on the ride again, but like right. everyone's getting off and it's embarrassing because you're like,
it so, is really embarrassing.
So this like little kid 2 years ago was like, sir, and
sir.
That joke has lasted. And then it happens to Abby, like the first roller coaster we go on, she gets stuck. The last roller coaster we go on, I get stuck. Yeah. So we're it's like.
Which one did you get stuck on?
Shivering Timbers.
Oh, you were afraid you'd have to ride that baby again.
Yeah. So Shivering Timbers, it's the big one.
You're shaking.
Shaking in my boots. We went over the second hill and I told them I literally saw sparkles. Like my brain smacked my skull. I saw sparkles. At one point, Abby
well, you
and I,
stopped yelling.
And yeah, and Abby was like, are you alive during the roller coaster?
Because you just got quiet.
Well, because I was like, oh, I'm not alive. Like that's kind of what it felt like. Abby and John proceed to ride it again. Jake and I were like, we cannot do that one again. Whatever. So we go to leave. And same thing. This one's not over, but it's
a lap bar.
And I can't get my lap bar up. And Abby's then stuck next to me, so she can't get out.
Sir.
I am laughing uncontrollably.
Wait, it makes
people
you laugh.
People are waiting to get on the roller coaster. Everyone's laughed. And then it's just like, you look like a dingo.
Does that
you know?
Make you wonder of the faultiness of
yes,
them?
Yes, that is exactly what I was thinking.
I didn't think about that at the time.
No, it's 100% made me think that.
I mean, there's always that backup bar, you know, that's like a real, just a regular seatbelt.
But
that's on every ride too, I just realized.
Yeah.
Every like roller coaster.
Yeah.
Would
but then
that
the same thing happened where they pushed down on my lap and made
tight.
It too tight. And I was like, oh. And she kept like hitting the thing to unlock it and it wouldn't unlock. And finally it did. So the last thing we do is we go on bumper cars. We're waiting. This guy is just, he's 12.
He is so slow. There's nothing wrong with this, but this gives you an image. He has the tattoo, his mom and a heart on his leg.
Yeah.
Also, it's the end of the day. Like
yeah.
the fact that this kid, which I'll get to what you're going to say in a second, was like working on one ride in the morning. He made his way to the bumper cars by the end of his shift. The park's about to close.
He like was announcing something and messed up a word and just started laughing to himself.
He like did the thing where he like gave up. He like leaned back and he was just like,
yeah.
Meanwhile, people wait like 10 minutes to get on bumper
These
cars.
These stupid bumper cars. So we're
also,
like.
He did say, welcome to Gotham.
He did?
Yes, he said it twice. You asked me. You're like, did he just say welcome to Gotham?
I blacked out.
So is
at
it
this
like
morning.
A, what is that?
Gotham jump from Batman?
Right. Is it a bat? It's taxis and police cars.
That doesn't make any sense.
I swear to God, he said welcome to Gotham.
So he goes to let us on and he stops us and he goes to Abby. Hey, are you that girl who got stuck on the corkscrew?
I'm a legend.
And so we laughed really hard because it was like, it was clearly the guy was working at the corkscrew when that happened, but it just seemed like it had like traveled through the theme park that this girl had got stuck on the corkscrew.
The photo that John took of me is it's like one of those crazy laughs.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to do, but I had tears also.
Yeah. Oh, I had tears on.
Yeah. Why does it do that to you?
I don't
it,
know. Like, I was doing the like,
yeah.
The photo John took of me on Shivering Timbers stuck is not great. I have like a gullet thing going on, but Abby is like
very
pointing to like me, like she's stuck, ma'am. She is stuck. And then the final thing is you rode a water slide with this kid.
Oh my God. Best part of the water slide for me was last year. The best part or last time we went was when the four of us went on the Funnel of Fear.
Yeah.
due to time, age, we've gained my weight and we are above the weight limit for the
We had to separate.
I mean, we didn't actually test it. I don't think that light would have turned red. I don't think it turns red. I think it's an optical illusion.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But we didn't want to be in that situation.
No, so we did 2 and 2 for that one. But then we are on this other one, which I guess you can only have 3 people on a tube.
Yes.
It seems like you should have 4, but only 3. So there were 4 kids in front of us and they had just 1 tube. And this sweet little boy, Ryan, I guess he's like 8. Mm-hmm. Like, and he just goes, excuse me. Are you guys riding 2 and 2? Do you have an extra spot in your tube? And Jake and I were like, yeah. And he's like, I was just, we can only ride 3 in a tube. And I was wondering if I could catch a ride or something. And Jake and I were like, Jake goes, hell yeah, man.
He's like, where do you want to sit?
Yeah. And I was like, you're in for a ride of a lifetime. Because this is a little kid and Jake makes tubes go awry.
Yeah.
And so anyways, I felt bad because I was swearing a lot on it. But Jake, at one point, like the tube almost folded. Like it was, the kid was having a great time.
Also, like you were like, what's your name? His name was Ryan.
Yes.
I just like, what a cool kid, Ryan.
He was not shy.
No.
And he seemed like, okay, here's what it seemed. I'm going to do like an evaluation. I bet you at school, he's not the popular kid. He doesn't seem like it. But he seems like the kid that's going to have a fucking glow up. If he chooses to date girls, all of their mothers will love him. Mm-hmm. He's going to shake that father's hand when he gets out of the car. And he's honestly a young Jake.
He's
going
to ride 3-seater with people he doesn't even know just to make sure his friends have a good time.
I imagine me at that age, if that had happened, I would have cried.
Oh, I would have cried too.
And I would have gone sulkily down the steps.
I wouldn't have known what to do, but this kid was like, yo, I want to ride this. You guys got 2, I'm on. They're like, that cool with you? It was so perfect. What a beautiful kid. Good for him. Good for Ryan.
And then I'll say the only other win, really good win I had is that—
You saved a life.
Oh God, I did. That was, yeah. There was a kid in, well, the wave pool. Picturing my husband in the wave pool, standing in like the deepest part, but he's tall enough that he can touch just his head. And there's all these kids treading water around him. And he's just standing there bobbing up and down. He looked like a predator, but he just was enjoying it. But then this kid was swimming away from the waves, like trying to go in. And I saw his head go under twice or like get close to going under. And I just like, I don't know, I grabbed his torso and I just guided him in. And he goes, thank you. And
yeah. So,
I was a lifeguard for 5 years and I never saved a life.
And you were you turned to him at one point. You're like, I think you can touch now. Because he was still like frantically treading water.
What if he couldn't have touched?
I, on the other hand, saw him and I was like, I think he's fine. Abby grabs him. I'm like, I think it's chill.
Years of training.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the last thing is last time we rode Shivering Timbers, which it's a wooden roller coaster. You can Google it. It goes one way and then back, just big hills, mm-hmm. just back and forth. And it hurt so bad last time. And something about this time, I think we rode in the back. Mm-hmm. And then also I lifted my feet up the whole time and just let gravity have me. And so mm-hmm. it didn't hurt as bad. So I rode twice.
It didn't hurt my boobs. It hurt my skull.
Well, the second time I rode it with John, after the first second drop or whatever, he stopped. He put his arms down and stopped speaking. Also, it's because he felt that he had been hit really hard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That second hill really gets you.
Because I did the same thing to him. I was like, are you okay? My biggest fear is like, what if in the beginning of that ride, the person next to you is not okay?
Well, yeah, because there's nothing you can do at that point.
I would stabilize his neck.
You can't be like, stop the ride. The one part too at the end of the ride is you do this big round robin.
Oh, God.
And you're just like screaming, like, and then you come to a crashing halt. And
it is like being rear-ended.
It's exactly like being rear-ended. And then I couldn't believe we get off this ride and you and John are like, well, I could go again. And I was so grateful that Jake was like, no, I don't need to. So we go and sit on a bench and literally didn't speak. We said one thing at one point, he went, I'm pretty tired. Yeah, me too, man.
He didn't have his phone. I had his phone on me. So he just had to sit there.
There is like a booth to do like old timey photos.
You were sitting right by it?
I was like, wouldn't it be funny if they came back and we had taken old timey photos together? Next time. I think we really should do that next time.
Old timey photos?
Yeah, of the 4 of us.
I mean, I think at this point, it's almost like it'd be cheaper to buy. You can buy a 2-season pass for like $90.
Yeah, and just go twice in the season.
Or no, like go 2 years in a row. Like it's 2-season pass.
Oh, it's 2. 2 seasons.
Yeah, they really fuck you over if you only go once a year. That's the most expensive way to do Michigan's yeah. Adventure. Like, it'd be better to do just the water park one day, but I'd have to ride a roller coaster.
But can you just do the water park?
Well, I mean, you still pay for the other one, but like, if we went multiple times in the summer, we could do like a, we could fucking just go to the water park.
And just sit in the wave pool.
In the lazy river.
Yeah. I wanted to hang out in that all day.
I could have done another lap.
I could have too. Okay. But I could tell that the boys were ready to get out of there.
John was just sitting in his tube, like waiting to get out.
Yeah.
So anyways, also Bree is retired.
Oh, I'm retired. I had my last day of work on Friday. I had a really nice party from my coworkers and then went out to dinner with all my friends and we stayed up very late.
That was a fun night. It's because I was like, ooh, I don't have to ride roller coasters the next day.
Yeah. So we moved our roller coaster date till Monday because now it's like John and I have been living the retired life. He has 2 weeks of vacation. I'm not working and I'm not in school right now. So today we like got lunch at Uccello's and we got a starter. We got an appetizer. I got some.
What was the starter?
Spinach and artichoke dip.
Did they have gluten-free things for you to dip
tortilla
it in?
Chips.
Oh, nice.
It was great. We went to Home Depot, 2 of them. It's been a great day. So we should probably talk about Grey's Anatomy, though.
Yeah, we have a lot. So let's jump in. Again, we are talking about season 14, episode 18, 19, and 20. I'll start with the monologue. Life doesn't owe us a thing. It just is. Like a river, it goes where it goes. You can try to fight against the current, or you can learn to ride it. As surgeons, we dedicate ourselves to an endless fight against the current. All day, every day, we fight against the current. Sometimes we lose, sometimes we win. Sometimes the current carries us exactly where we need to go. And sometimes it slams us right into the rocks.
That was totally about the water park.
I was thinking about the lazy river the whole time.
You know, I want to say one last thing. There's a part of the lazy river that it's like the Uno rocky part. And it has never been open.
Right. Drake and I were talking about that.
Ever been open.
Is it like a faster rapids?
I don't
sharp
know.
Sharp bottom?
I think, yeah.
Knives on the bottom, rusty things.
There's sharks in there. I don't know, but I've been, every time I've been, it's never been open.
I'm going to do some, we should have John do some research.
Yeah, so
that.
What's the point of that?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we didn't go to the petting zoo.
Oh.
I know. It's pretty disappointing.
There did were you all just those, realize that too?
Yeah.
Oh, all those goats.
All those goats waiting to be pet.
John probably did that on purpose.
Yeah, he doesn't like petting zoos. Okay, next monologue. When you're little and you announce to your parents that you want to be a doctor, they're thrilled. You practice medicine on your stuffed animals and you dream. The dreams turn to plans, pre-med, med school, residency, fellowship. It takes almost 15 years to prepare to be a surgeon. Holy shit, that's a long time. But no matter how much you prepare, 15 years isn't enough. We spent our childhoods writing our dreams and diaries. As adults, those dreams quietly come true every single day. Only sometimes we forget to notice until it's too late. Slow down and take it in. Let yourself feel it. Because sometimes even the most beautiful dreams disappear when the sun comes up. Meredith Grey.
Adrenaline is the body's response to stressful situations. It's one of many vital chemical compounds our bodies produce that alter our state of consciousness. Oxytocin makes us feel bonded with others. Dopamine makes us more alert and motivates us to seek reward. A lack of serotonin has been linked to depression. GABA, an amino acid neurotransmitter, helps reduce anxiety, and endorphins create a heightened state of happiness, like the kind we feel when we win. Surgeons can benefit from altered states of consciousness, but only when they're achieved naturally. The lows drive us to do better, the highs of saving a life are the rewards of a job well done, and then there are times when our state of mind is altered and it has nothing to do with brain chemistry. New opportunities open us up to greater possibilities. New information and a new perspective can permanently shift our consciousness, and the way we see the world will never be the same. Meredith Grey.
Okay, shotgun workup. We have Olivia Warner, liver failure.
Olive. Her name's Olive.
Her name's Olive, guys. Her name's Olive. Liver failure, cardiomyopathy, end stage liver failure.
Noah Brozniak, hypothalamic hamartoma.
Kimmy Park, recurrent low-grade glioma.
Dana Rutledge, bruised ribs.
Ruby Taylor, co-articulation of the aorta, pyloric stenosis.
Lanny, pregnancy.
Martin Fields, coronary artery blockages.
Carl Gustav, gastric cancer.
Meredith Grey, bruised fingers.
And Vikram Roy, arm laceration.
Then we have round. So the first one is Richard's sponsor, Ollie, comes into Grace Sloan with end-stage liver failure. She had a DNR without telling Richard, but the fire department didn't see it until they had brought her back to life. Richard spends the day trying to convince her to try more surgeries and more medicine to stay alive when all she wants is for him to accept that she is dying. After talking with Maggie, Richard finally understands that he is keeping Ollie alive for himself, not for her. He brings Amelia into Ollie's room and they hold a meeting where Richard opens it with the Serenity Prayer. Richard ends up staying in Ollie's room with her until she passes away peacefully.
Arizona and Owen get a patient who claims to have breast cancer, but they start to get suspicious when they don't see cancer on her scans. They pretend to be a couple and go into Dr. Hansen's office, where he proceeds to give Arizona an ultrasound and shows her the cancer. Arizona freaks out, and they go back to Grace Sloan to verify. Fortunately, the cancer is not there, and they now have proof that he is using fake ultrasounds to convince women they have breast cancer so he can treat them with chemo and make money. Owen confronts him, which is a
We'll talk more.
And he is arrested.
Maggie and Jackson are still making out in the on-call rooms and holding hands in the hallways. Things seem to be going well, but after April's 2 days of dishing out apologies for her past behavior, she ends up apologizing to Maggie and mentioning that she had made out with Jackson only a few days prior. Maggie wants Jackson to apologize, and Jackson doesn't think that he needs to because he claims he was protecting April. Maggie shows up to Jackson's apartment at the end of a very hard day, and they finally have a conversation about their fight. Jackson tells Maggie that she is not some goofy, unlovable person, but she is instead holds all of the power. Maggie starts kissing him, and he says he should have apologized, and they finally hook up.
Meredith, Joe, and Helm have been naming the rats in their study after famous musicians. Many of them are dying, but at long last, one of them, I believe it was Janis Joplin, starts growing a liver on their own without the polymer. This means that they do not need Marie Serone's polymer after all. Meredith finds out later that the reason that Marie Serone's name was not on Ellis's Harper Avery Award was because Marie Serone was one of the 13 women who were sexually harassed by Harper Avery and whose name could not be on a Harper Avery Award.
Amelia and Tom successfully get rid of Noah's tumor using their UV method, but it's completely risky. Once the surgery started, they realized how much they didn't know about the surgery, and it's a miracle he made it out unscathed. They tell Alex that they will not be willing to do the surgery on Kimmy Park, and Alex gets mad and pushes Tom against a table. The next day, without telling Alex, Kimmy and her grandma leave the hospital. Joe has to be the one to tell Alex this. She also tells him that seeing him interact with Kimmy made her want to have children with him, and that she could, and she would like to take his last name.
DeLuca is living in the on-call room, and when Sam finds out about this, she invites him to live with her. The next day, an ICE agent, did they say ICE?
Yeah, okay.
Agent comes out and says that he is looking for Sam Bellow. We find out that Sam is a dreamer and was a part of the DACA program. Her parents moved to the States from El Salvador when she was 1 year old. She ran a traffic light, which now gives them reason to deport her. While trying to delay the agent from finding Sam, Bailey notices that the agent seems to have a jugular vein distension, and it is indicative sign of a heart attack. They take him in for tests, and they end up having to place a stent. While he is in surgery, Meredith and Maggie put together a fake application and an essay to send Sam to Zurich, where she will study under Christina. DeLuca and Sam have to say goodbye to each other out in the rain.
A neurosurgeon that Amelia wants to work with stops answering Amelia's calls and claims she cannot work with their hospital because of its connection to the Harper Avery Foundation. She says that she is not at liberty to say why. Jackson tries to figure this out, and since his grandfather is dead, he tells his lawyers to release this doctor from anything that she signed to keep her from talking about the lawsuit. Catherine says that Jackson has ruined them. We find out that Harper Avery sexually harassed 13 different women throughout his career who were all paid and given NDAs to sign so they couldn't report what had happened. They were also unable to work with or do anything with any Harper Avery hospital or be a contender for the Harper Avery Award. Jackson and Catherine talk about how times were different back then and that they want to come out ahead of this and come clean. However, news has already spread.
Matthew comes back into the hospital with his daughter, Ruby, who isn't doing very well. Owen treats her, and thanks to a recommendation and suggestion from April, they find out it is something with her stomach and it's an easy surgery fix. April and Matthew sit together in the chapel.
Arizona is afraid of losing any more of her pregnant patients and their babies, so she comes up with the idea of creating a crash cart to keep in delivery rooms so they can be ready to treat any and all complications that come up unexpectedly.
Owen signed up to foster to adopt, and they are bringing him a baby boy who we will soon learn is Leo. Amelia comes over to help him and even ends up staying the night when she sees how desperately Owen needs help.
Arizona gives attendings and interns some lesbian gratitude cookies that her clients had left for her. She is handing them out as everyone is supposed to be presenting their research idea. The lesbian couple shows up at the hospital, calling 911, and lets Arizona know that they accidentally gave them cookies that were made with an unknown amount of weed peanut butter. Arizona, April, Bailey, Maggie, Jackson, Catherine, Alex, Roy, DeLuca were among those who got accidentally high. Meredith tried to keep them all in one room for the day, but they all got out and started causing chaos.
All right. What's your first note?
I don't even know what this is. It says, I thought that was that Mayor and Alex were holding hands, but I think it was Joe and Alex. And I was like, what are they doing?
I wrote, I don't know how I feel about Owen walking around barefoot.
Then I have Owen is going through things.
So yeah. Because he's in barefoot. His room and he finds the tag on his suitcase.
Yeah.
He's got a lot going on.
Yeah. Can I just want to briefly, my next note, we can just brush over this really fast. But Ben's present to Bailey of a pill carrier.
I said, Ben Warren is an idiot for thinking that a pill carrier is a gift.
Oh my God. Like, you can give someone that, but you don't wrap it and be like, I got you something, baby. In bed with like negligees on.
Was it in a special box that would stay in there? So that idea is that no one can tell it's a pill carrier?
No, I think he wrapped it in like a pretty
box.
Either
way, I was like, that's something you're like, hey, I was at the store, I picked this up.
Yeah, I thought this would be helpful.
Not like, hey, sexy.
Hey girl.
Which like we learn the reason is that he is still nervous around her, I think. Like she had this big surgery. She almost had, she had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. He's treating her like she's made of glass.
Yes.
And she doesn't want to be. And she makes that very known by the end of the episode.
Yes.
It was almost like the Owen, like, use me as you wish.
Yeah.
She rips his buttons right off that shirt.
Yeah, that was wild.
I'd be like, I'm just going to have to sew these back on.
What a fucking waste. Yeah. So where do we want to go first? Maybe should we briefly talk about April?
Yeah. I thought that, well, I loved her making amends.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily, it's not like she's in a program where like, you know, I know that in AA, that's like a step, but I feel like she's just kind of come to terms. And I thought it was really great. I love how she's like avoiding Jackson.
Yeah.
It's like the one that she doesn't want to quite have to make amends with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's, again, I really feel like with this storyline, it's so nice to see something actually come full circle. I can just always think about in future episodes, like when Maggie finds that journal or like sees Ghost Ellis and then we never hear about it again. Like this April storyline has lasted a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to see it round out in a realistic way.
Yeah. And for her to recognize that she was like going through shit and took it out on a lot of different people. I mean, that's great that she went and apologized.
I love Tom's way of being like, you use me for sex? That's fine. Like, you don't have to apologize for that.
Also, when she, like, tries to, like, talk to Schmidt and, like, can't really apologize because he's just like, whoa. He's, like, so afraid of her. And they're just like, okay.
Yes.
Move on from that one.
The trauma assessment.
So what do we think about the Matthew thing?
Okay. Well, first of all, I hate that this season ends up with her and him together.
It doesn't make any sense.
I get that they're planting the seeds for that right now.
Sure.
You know, like she's come around to this, but to me, she has grown beyond Matthew. Also, like Matthew associates her with so much pain. She was the doctor that treated his wife. She left him on the altar. I don't know how you come around from that.
I don't know either. And I think in future seasons when they don't end up working out,
it makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. But to me, it's poor writing, like writing her off the show in that way. Send her like across this, like to a different country again to work for like the Red Cross or something. You know what I mean?
Something that would make sense for her character.
Yeah. But instead she marries Matthew.
Yeah. Which something happens to her in the next few episodes. And I don't remember.
Yeah, you don't remember?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, it's when it's like, okay.
I don't really want to, I want to be surprised.
Okay, I'm not gonna say
anything. But anyway, so I think like, what I would have liked this scene with her and Matthew as is just like an amends.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't need it to then come back and haunt me in the season finale.
No.
Why is he even at that wedding?
Because they're dating.
Oh, they've started dating
at that point. They started dating at that point. So they start dating. And like, I think she hides it for a while from people that she's dating him.
You know what I would have liked? Here's my fan fiction. Cause we know, like, I love that now we know Jackson and April are endgame. Uh-huh. I would have liked, I feel like this whole growth that journey she's been on would make her be a better match with Jackson because she can, like, she's, I feel like, come to terms with religion and made a faith of her own mm-hmm. and like could understand Jackson and how he feels. And I just feel like they could have done that sooner.
But
I don't think Jackson and Maggie, because we all know how that ends.
But Jackson wasn't leaving the show and April was.
Right.
And I don't know why they made.
I'm so mad. They and Arizona.
Because that was not their choice.
I don't think so. No.
They like
I think it was wrote, like the writers.
Wrote them out of the show.
Which is, that is maybe one of the biggest fuck ups.
Absolutely.
That they did. Like they've put so much time into these two characters. And just because what, like Arizona and Karina weren't giving, like people weren't like wanting more of that or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or they're like, we solved like, April's religion. Now she can
I
be done.
I would like to do more research on that. Maybe we can do a bonus episode.
Does anyone
on, like,
know anything?
Like what happened? I wonder if it's in that Grey's Anatomy book. That
we should really read them.
We really should. I want to talk about Ollie. Yeah.
I thought James Pickens Jr., is that his name?
Yes.
Really crushed it.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm really glad they brought her back and that mm-hmm. she was in the show so long ago. Love mm-hmm. that moment for us. And also just appreciate that it felt like a really realistic thing that relating the Maggie being able to talk to him and say, like, I kept my mom alive for me, not for her, and for yes. Richard to understand that. I thought it was a great tie-in.
I thought that was really, and that is what got him to understand, like, talking to Maggie.
She's a great character. I know we don't get a lot from her, but I feel like, what I'm sad about is that she says her and Richard talk on the phone multiple times a day. I wish we'd seen more of that, or I wish she'd been a more, it would have been nice to have her as almost like a Joe's Bar character, like someone that's not in the hospital, but makes appearances.
Yes.
Like, why wasn't she at Richard's wedding?
Oh, that's true. That would have been really nice to see her there. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to find a note and I don't think I can find it, and that's okay. Richard, well, I have a note that Richard has that bear on his desk. Also, Richard has an office. Did you notice
that? He's just the best.
But what I really appreciated was, and I wish I had the note about it, but Ollie saying to Richard, like, I couldn't, like, sponsor you through my desk.
Right, right.
Like, I thought that was, like, because he's like, you didn't tell me, you didn't come to me. And it's very clear that Richard isn't okay.
Is this in episode 18 or 19, do you think? Because I can pull up the quote.
I think it's 18.
The first one?
Yeah.
It's probably in the quotes. That's where I'm headed.
But I think, like, that's a really good point. And when, like, him being mad, like, we're friends, you don't share with me or whatever. And she's like, I've shared this with my sponsor.
Right. Exactly right. Like, she has her own life outside of it. She says, that's not that part. This isn't that quote, but it's similar. She says, he's saying, like, it's better to have a chance at a good result than a guarantee of a bad one. And she says, by whose definition? Do you think that when I found out I was dying, I was just, oh, well, that's life for you. Coming to terms with this was the second hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And now I'm at peace, or at least I was. The only thing stopping me from moving on is a childish, stubborn, nagging problem. You are driving me to drink and I'll be damned if I don't leave this world sober.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not the quote, but I know what you're talking about. Like, she can't be there for him.
No.
Through this.
No. And so he has to find a support system to get himself through. But that is... I'm not part of a program, but I can imagine that would just be devastating, having a sponsor and a relationship for that long and then not having them anymore. Like, what does that mean for your sobriety? Like,
right.
How do you do that?
Well, and I love that she voiced that fear to Meredith and Maggie.
Yeah.
So they are aware. And I also felt like Meredith and Maggie were, I mean, some might say they're like helicoptering around him, but I feel like that's what's needed. Like, and Catherine was there bringing him coffee, not having to try to talk to him when he's sitting there with her.
That I really loved. Like, just her being there with Richard as his wife of like support.
Yeah,
and that's like all that you need in like right. that. And, you know, Jackson even checking in on his mom. Like everyone was kind of checking in yeah. on each other. Like, how are you doing, mom? Like it's going really slow in there. And that Richard didn't leave her side. And like that.
The moment when she passes.
And he cries.
And he like, yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Props to James Pickens Jr. That yeah. was really good acting. It made me. It's always great in a show like this when a character that you don't really know, you feel for.
Yeah.
I hate that raggedy breath sound.
Like, yeah.
yeah. that was
Sounds
it.
Like a horror movie.
Exactly. So I don't know. It was a beautiful episode. Richard doesn't drink again, does he?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't have... Well, and I was really nervous. I was like, fuck, is he going to eat the weed cookies?
Oh, yeah.
he doesn't.
But does what was that in, it, in the newest episode... In season, whatever.
Oh, he drinks that.
The cannabis drink.
Yes.
So that does happen. But,
yes. That's yeah. why. That's why I got confused.
Because the episode where he drinks again and bashes the bar with a baseball bat.
Happened.
That happened. Okay, yep. great. Yeah, I thought it was.
He doesn't drink again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's yeah, right. Who bashes the, he still
But
does
he does that. Because he gets pissed off because, like, if you trade in your chip.
Oh, right.
You get. yeah. That's so fucked up.
It's so fucked up. Also, I will say. I'm sure a lot of you listen to Armchair Expert. Like, uh-huh. it's such a great podcast. I am obsessed with the friendship of him and his best friend, Aaron Weekly, like yeah. the way they talk about it. And I don't know if you guys have been listening to the Armchair Anonymous ones. Mm-hmm. The one, have you been listening?
Yeah.
The Zoom blunder yeah. with Aaron yeah. Weekly.
When he's at the meeting.
Oh, God. he's like in the AA meeting. It's like
shitting his brains out.
I made Jake listen to that and we were crying. There's something also I will say that like, I mean, I'm drinking wine with you right now, whatever. But like when you are laughing that hard sober with your friends,
yes.
it's a different level of funny.
Oh yeah.
Like us at the roller coasters.
Exactly. We were completely sober, yeah. just laughing our asses off. Yeah. There is a different.
I don't know where I was going with that. Other than that, I just listened to that yesterday and cried laughing again.
Yeah.
If you haven't already listened to the Armchair Anonymous episodes, they're so good. The Zoom blunders and the pooping in the workplace are by far my
pooping
favorite.
Pooping in the workplace. Oh my
they're
goodness.
They're so good.
Dude, that one about being sexually connected to a dolphin.
Wait.
You didn't listen to that one?
Oh no, I did. Yeah.
That one was wild. Yeah, and that person was like very
about
honest
it.
About it.
And like, Dax and Monica are open-minded.
Well, and I just love that he was like, I'm not going to hide this. And like,
and it wasn't
to
like,
to be like clear, he didn't have sex with the dolphin.
No, it was like he just felt a connection.
He felt that it wasn't just a connection. He felt a sexual connection looking at a dolphin.
Yeah.
And the dolphin looked back at him at a like aquarium.
And that's how
And he had
the
a raging
movie,
boner.
What was that song or that movie that I never saw? Shape what? Of Water.
Oh, but isn't that a mermaid?
But it's like a sea creature. There's well, something. Yeah.
Dolphins are different.
I don't want to have sex with a dolphin. They'll kill you.
Yeah. Dolphins are very sexually aggressive.
Yeah. And their semen spray, it comes at like 800 miles per hour or something.
Sorry, what?
You didn't know that?
No.
No, their ejaculate is like powerful and will like rip through a human body.
I want to Google this, but I don't want it on my Google. Maybe I'll private Google it at some point.
Alexa.
Did you listen to the podcast? I think it's on... I want to say maybe it's on This American Life. It might not be. But about the woman who studied with dolphins. She like lived with a dolphin.
No.
And so there was like a bit of water and she had like a bed. And she, I feel bad. She used to like
jack off
the dolphin
because
it would get super like aggressive with her. And so she'd be like, it was just like a thing I had to do because she's trying to teach it to speak.
Whoa. Also, I mean, this is like how my middle school to early high school was fucked up. I mean, we are the generation of two girls, one cup. I just want to say, I don't ever need to think about that again, but we are. That's just, we were the generation of E-bombs world.
Yeah.
Of what's that other crazy website where you'd video cam with people?
Chat Roulette?
Yes. Like, you know what I mean?
Helly okay, for tits.
There's some dark, or even like hotornot.com. Like we grew up when the internet was beginning.
Yeah.
And I remember this website that my like guy friends in high school or maybe even middle school thought was like so funny. It was like called sexwithdolphins.com.
Oh my God.
You didn't see it, but it was like an informational website.
What?
I mean, it could have been wrong, but like I remember it specifically, like I can picture it. I don't want to go to it. I don't know if it exists.
Oh my God.
So like that was, maybe that's where I got that information. If you are an aquamarine biologist, that's my birthstone.
Dude, it's very.
I want to edit this out, but I'm not good at it.
Me too. write the timestamp down.
Just don't.
Ended up firm. We are the generation of two girls, one cup.
It's true, though.
I know, but like, I don't want to be that.
I think I only watched part of it. I don't think I ever watched the whole thing.
I didn't. I remember specifically.
I can see you not choosing big. No.
Yes, I remember specifically. It got put like there was a computer. I was dating this guy, and there were like a bunch of us around, and it was like, we're gonna put this on, and I said, I'm gonna politely, I will not engage but in this, also, and I walked out.
I
of
imagine
the room.
You also because before I saw it, I was like, I acted like I knew what it was, but I didn't.
Oh, I knew. Like they told me what it was. And I said, I will not engage in this.
What if I said we are the generation of old Greg?
Oh, that's better.
Okay. We are the generation
Sesame
of
Street.
That one boy that sang into the down the E-Bombs road, the Molly Yucky. Molly
Yucky. Oh, he was great. I wonder what he's
or
up
the,
to.
Or the guy that danced, he was like, Aisha, Aisha, passing
or
me
or Charlie the Unicorn.
Yeah, like that's our, or the Charlie.
Or we were also Salad Fingers. But we were also Strong Bad Emails,
dude,
you know?
We were trying, we were figuring out the internet. Our parents weren't. We were. We were pushing through the frontier.
We were pushing through boundaries.
We really were. God, dark fucking boundaries.
Do you think like now Salad Fingers would be like on the dark web?
You can do the voice, can't you?
Madre Stuart Baxter.
Or like Washington, Washington.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we should watch that.
Where's
after
a fucking tongue? Like, da-na-na-na. People would not think, Gen Zers would not think that's funny. Or they might.
I don't think they
we
would.
We should put that on TikTok.
The Washington?
Yeah, like the clip
of 6 foot
it.
7 weighs a fucking ton. That opponents will, beware.
He's coming. He's coming. Or like Andy Milonakis.
I never watched that.
Oh, I did.
Oh. Well, we were the generation of all that.
This is all Have,
did you that. Watch that documentary about Nickelodeon? It was so good. It was
no,
on Hulu.
I should.
It's so good. It's just all about like the weird Nickelodeon bought all it the was, weirdest shows.
Dude, remember the caveman?
Yes.
What was that? It was
Kablam.
Yes, yes.
Yes, Kablam.
What was the caveman named? It was Prometheus and Bob.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, we grew up on that. Nick at Night.
Nick, oh, Snick.
Kenan Thompson was just on Smartless, the podcast.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, he's the same to me as he was. And he's been doing the same thing since I was born.
Yeah, and he is
it's like
great
his
at
15th
him.
Year on SNL or something.
And he started on all that.
Right. He's been doing
Welcome
sketch
to
comedy.
Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Burger. Can I take your order?
Yeah. I was more of a Kel guy, but now I'm more of a Kenan.
Yeah.
Would you order a Good Burger?
Yeah.
Okay. Jake loves that movie.
Oh God, I haven't seen that in years. I want to say one more thing about Nickelodeon. The like CEO, the woman who like created Nickelodeon, like made it what it was with like the orange color and whatever and the slime would go and interview kids and ask them what they wanted. And that's why it was so fucking weird because they were the only network like asking kids what they wanted out of the network.
They shouldn't.
But then it created like this really cool. I mean, think back,
what is it
like,
now?
Getting
though?
Slimed, like they have the Nickelodeon studios.
Temple,
all those games. Like you could go when you went to Universal Studios. You could go to Nickelodeon Studios there. They don't have that anymore.
Does
like,
Nickelodeon exist?
It does, but not in the same way at all.
Weird.
It's not like Nick with like the orange and the
Roly Poly Oly. Or no, that was Disney.
That was Disney. You're getting it confused.
Disney was Channel 17.
And Nick was like 21.
21, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Why do we remember that?
Because
Disney turned to 14, though, at some point.
I
later.
Remember that. We also, Disney was like 31 for us.
Also,
at some point. 38.
Zug Disney?
Zug. That was the internet, too, where you created a Zug thing. And
you played games on the internet. Like, you went to the internet just to play games.
Or, like, did you ever, like, create paper Barbies on the internet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was like CD-ROM game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, anyway. I don't want to talk about Grays anymore. Just kidding. Okay. Let's talk about, while we're on weird topics, let's just talk about Owen and that.
Okay. What a response.
First of all, that storyline being placed in the middle of like so much other things happening.
And it never comes back again,
no,
right?
It was interesting. Like it was wild. I actually had a moment where I was like, could Arizona and Owen be a couple?
but if they were.
I know, but maybe she's bi. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I had this moment where I was like, they seem well together. I think it's because I'm thinking Callie and Owen in that future episode. But anyways, okay. Owen goes full on like CSI, Law and Order.
Yeah.
What did you call it? You said when he goes after that doctor.
I think I said it was was it SVU?
No. Oh, it just didn't feel like it felt like Elliot going after a pedophile in SVU.
Yeah.
Same energy.
Very, very much the same energy. What bothers me about the storyline is it literally doesn't ever come up again. It's just like, and him like going to like
connecting the guy to the fucking meds.
Yeah, that was.
It was crazy.
It was also, I remember watching it and like when Arizona's like, oh my God, I actually do have breast cancer. I remembered, I was like, wait, but she doesn't. They're using like a different,
they're faking
us out.
I loved when April's giving her the ultrasound and then Owen, she's like, she's topless here. And he's like, we're far past that. Like,
yeah. And what, that's what leads them to getting a foster kid?
Okay. Yeah. The connection I do not know. I want to read a text from our dear friend and listener, Chris. I hope it's okay, Chris. I'm not asking your permission. Oh God, we texted a lot. I want to read what he said about why Owen is giving him something. He says, oh God, sorry guys.
Scrolling. Oh, it's fine.
We talked a lot about Beauty and the Beast last night.
Oh yeah. I said some things about the Beast.
Okay. He says, okay. He said, very much excited for your take on this crazy Owen storyline you'll cover next week. He is so unhinged. And then I just love that he says, he is honestly the last good part of the show. The only character giving charisma, Verve. Nearly dying by falling off a cliff, running from the law. Next season should be 1/3 of Teddy and Owen just in various wigs running around countries. And that made me laugh. And I agree. While this storyline is out of place, I do admit that it is exciting.
Yeah. I guess, but how does it connect to the foster?
Is it camp? I don't quite understand camp, but this feels like camp.
I don't know. But how does it connect to fostering a child?
What do you mean? Is that after that he goes to the meeting?
Like
that was last episode. That was last time we chatted. That he says he wants a foster kid.
That was in this. No. Oh, but then he gets the call.
In this one. Last episode we recorded is when he goes
yes,
in.
Yes, you're right. For some reason, I was making this connection that like he went in and they're like, here's a child.
Yeah, no. If they knew he did that, I assume
he would.
I think
they'd be like, no.
We can jump right into the foster thing quick because it just feels like this story came out of nowhere. It's just Amelia sticking around and she shouldn't.
She should not be there. She should not have shown up to help. She should not choose to stay. Like, if anything, Meredith should be the one who's like, here's my stuff.
Right.
Like, let me help you.
Also,
it's his choice
to
foster.
What's Leo's mom's name?
Oh, shit. What is her name?
She's coming soon.
Yes.
I can picture her.
I can picture her, too.
Anyways, Susan, Paul.
Brittany.
It's Beth Ann.
It's so...
But anyways, I just... that
Beverly?
Whole part...
No.
That whole part was just wild to me. The only good thing about the foster child storyline so far to me is Alex being high, which we'll get to.
Yes.
When he's like with them. So Owen is unhinged.
I don't think Amelia should be there.
No.
This is inappropriate behavior.
This is
the erratic. Okay. This is what it is. Owen is erratic as fuck. He goes to Germany, fucks Teddy. She kicks him out.
Tells her that he will move to Germany.
Yeah. And then he comes back and
signs up for a foster child.
And then he goes and tries to murder a doctor and like intimidate this doctor. Then why did the people even agree for Owen to be a foster parent?
No one knows.
And he decides he would foster from 0 to 17 and he got a 0-year-old.
I love that he said that. I got zero.
Yeah.
I think he would have been better with an older. Well, he likes babies.
I don't know. But like, he is unhinged. He is running around the world like Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah, it's absurd. And Amelia is clearly just like being a helpful friend, but I know it's Owen is misinterpreting it and maybe she's getting confused because it feels like they're playing house. It's just a mess.
Because we know Teddy's going to show up.
Pregnant. And at that point, Owen and Amelia, they're sort of a little family.
They're a little family with that girl
Susan.
Named Bethany. I can't remember a goddamn name. I feel like it starts with a B. Bernice?
We're not going to look it up. We're just going to annoy all of you also.
Her name is...
Susan.
No, but it is Brittany. Like an... It is kind of like an older name.
Yeah. Wait, what's the name?
Barbara?
No. We're gonna pass whoever thinks of it first wins. No googling.
No googs. Okay.
No zoogs and no
googs. No zoogs and googs here.
Okay. Let's talk about...
Oh, I don't it's have gonna a lot, bother me.
I know. I don't have a lot to say about Maggie and Jackson because it all got resolved.
I have nothing to say.
They've had sex. So now from this point on to me, actually, their relationship is gonna go downhill.
Yeah. I think it like stays okay for a while, but...
Yeah. I did like him saying, though, which I do think sometimes Maggie needs to hear, is like, you're writing this narrative that you are this unlovable, goofy, nerdy girl. And like, you're not. You're hot. You're amazing. You're smart.
You're super intelligent. You're like, that's all put to rest. The way you felt as a child and whatever, like, you are not that person anymore.
Because it's
and
also
like,
not fair for Jackson to always be put up on that.
No, like, step into your own. Yes. Like, you have power in this relationship.
Which, what a sexy thing for someone to say to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Bethany. It's not Bethany.
No googling.
I'm not going to do it. I feel like it starts with a B.
Okay. I also have... Well, we'll talk about Maurice Theron when we talk about Harper Avery, but let's talk about just quickly. I thought it was, is this the end of Kimmy Park?
I don't remember.
I think it is.
That's sad.
It is, which I do think though, it's like a reality that does happen.
Yes.
Not everything is always a miracle. And I think maybe it's important they show that. I think it was important that Alex wasn't there when she left. I also thought
it was... You do think it was important she wasn't there?
That he wasn't, because I don't think he would have let her leave.
Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think she could leave until Alex was gone. I also, again, Tom has grown on me this whole season and rewatch, and I think it is also very important that he was like, it was a miracle Noah's worked. When we went in there, we realized how much we don't know, and I will not have this child's blood on my hands, essentially. Mm-hmm. So I think that's important, like, to sometimes know that.
Yeah.
Although Amelia's, like, wanting to do it with another doctor now.
Yeah.
Okay, we have Sam Bellow to talk about. We also have the Harper Avery thing and weed. Those are the big ones.
I feel sad. I mean, this was an important story to tell with Sam Bellow.
Especially, it was 2017, yeah, 16. Like, this was happening in real life.
We're in it, and I'm sure this is still happening. You know,
yeah.
So I think it was an important story to tell. It just kind of sucks. Like, that was how we...
Lost that character,
especially because of like how close DeLuca and her were and like what was becoming of them. And I know it wasn't really supposed to happen.
No, she's on a show, Roswell.
Right. Like, so it kind of just, I think they were probably taking Andrew and her to like a certain...
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought in a way, for me, it was like, I had known because of the news, like, about this program. I think it was a great way, if you're someone who is oblivious to news, mm-hmm. to learn about this program and that they're not like these kids that were the dreamers. Like, they have lived here their whole life. This is the life they know. Like, I think it was an important way of using her as an example for that. It is wild that like this whole episode is like them dealing with an ICE agent.
Yeah.
Like, this is Grey's Anatomy. I thought Bailey was lying, and then I forgot that the guy actually like is not doing well.
Yeah.
And there was it sad at the end there too. He kind of gave that, not sad, but he gave that little speech that's like, this isn't what I used to do. This isn't what it used to be like.
Right.
Like, I didn't get into this to do what I'm currently doing now, which I don't know what they were trying to show with that. But anyways.
I don't know. We never see her again. Well, I did get a little emotional when... I don't know why I got like really teary eyed when she was like, Dr. Yang will be waiting for you. Like that.
I know. I just got goosebumps.
They would contact her and Christina would be like, absolutely. Yes.
Yes. And that Joe and Maggie wrote a fake application, fake essay. Like, there was a lot of teamwork into this. And it was sad when they left, when DeLuca's like, I'll go with you. And she's like, no, like that's not.
Yeah.
Also, is she fake admitting or did she admit that she followed him there? I think she admits there that she followed him there.
She does admit that. And I don't know if that's fake admitting like, so don't follow me or if that's real.
Left to wonder.
Yeah, maybe.
It is a little shitty that DeLuca thinks that Karina reported.
Yeah.
Her. She's like,
how dare you? She's
I would be so mad.
Like, why would you think that of me?
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the Harper Avery thing. I don't have a, we basically wrote what happens. I feel like the whole coming out of it is about to take place.
Yeah. I kind of realized, but kind of forgot that it happened the same season that Meredith gets the award.
Right after. This is obviously, I would assume, during like very much the Me Too movement began to like really take off. So I think it's really important. I also thought it was important that they, like, Jackson is mad at his mom because she played a part in this.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, oh, I think I have her speech, because I do think what she says, like, I've never been in a situation like this, so I don't want to say anything about like what I or wouldn't do. But I think the way she phrases it is really important. She says, okay, it's kind of long.
Okay.
She says, you do not get to do that. You do not get to stand there in judgment of me. 30 years ago, getting harassed at work, getting groped at work wasn't something we could protest. It was something we had to take with our morning coffee. It was part of the job. And if we made a noise, if we fussed, we were told we were overreacting. And more often than not, we lost the job and our reputation along with it. I was not then who I am now. I didn't have the voice then that I have now. I had choices. I could stand there and let your grandfather fire those women and drag them through the mud, or I could make sure they got some money, a leg to stand on, a path to move forward. I'm not ashamed of myself, Jackson, but I am ashamed of what your grandfather did. And I'm so sorry that now you have to carry that burden along with me. And I'm sorry that the burden might bring down this family, the entire hospital, and all of his hospitals.
I mean,
well said.
I mean, it's a great argument.
It's just what she did and what's what she had to do. And now I feel like it sucks that they didn't have the time to come clean, because I think they would have totally like been able to say this, and Catherine could say something like that, and I take this back and we take full responsibility.
Yeah. But to come ahead of, or to get ahead of it, it is interesting that, like, I understand like wanting to protect Jackson, but I do feel like he's so much a part of this hospital and this foundation. Like, he should have known about this. So if they really wanted to protect this, because she was like, Jackson ruined us.
They would have told him.
Yeah, like, don't just give up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, he should have known about this. And really, he should have known about this so he could be the one to be like, we got to make this right.
I don't remember how this plays out, but what is interesting to me is that, from what I remember, isn't it called the Catherine Fox Award? Which, in a real world scenario, as much as like I believe what she's saying here, I can't imagine in a real world where, like, oh, the granddaughter who helped get these women these NDAs and stuff, like, we're going to name it after her.
Yeah, or like the daughter-in-law.
I can't imagine that would, or daughter-in-law,
Yeah, I would imagine she would have to step down and like bring someone else in and whatever.
So I also like that they start super high talking about it and then, what a buzzkill.
Total buzzkill.
Okay, let's talk about the weed cookie.
Yeah. Betsy.
Oh.
I think it's Betsy, right?
I think it is too. Nice job, Betsy. I'm going to Google it.
Did I say Betsy already?
No. Who is Leo's mom on Grey's Anatomy? Wait. Betty. It says Brittany Dickinson using the alias Betty Nelson.
Betty. Okay, I was close.
Oh, you were
I was almost there.
Yeah, so close. Wow, Betty.
Betty.
Okay, so we're going to talk about weed for a second here. I love that everyone loves these cookies, which, if you've ever had a weed dessert.
Like an edible?
Or like a weed dessert, like I've had lemon bars. They have a hint of weed taste.
Yeah.
They're not fully, although that maybe times have changed. But anyways, I just think it was funny. And also the fact that it's like happening while they're presenting their awards. The best part to me is when Jackson is like, I can make vaginas. They're good, but they could be better. And he's like, but yours is fine. I came out of it. And like, there were some funny parts.
Yeah, it was a little like silly. Like,
let's name our favorite little parts of that.
Yeah. Episode. Let me get to that part of my notes.
I know one of your favorite parts. It's when April and Bailey are playing the,
oh, when they're playing like taps or whatever. That is really funny. I love when Alex says, oh crap, I just crushed Chip Baby.
And just like he's eating a chip. He's like, this chip smells like Owen. Everything he's doing with when he takes the baby in the beginning, he's like, hi. They're like, hello, Dr. Hunt. And then he's just like, and then
Maggie talking about cheeses. I felt that very deeply. Like,
and then when she sits down,
she has a big cheese board.
Yeah.
I love that. I thought it was really funny that they say, like, it's been tainted with rat poison.
Oh, yeah, fucking terrifying.
And they're all super high and they're like, what? Oh my God. And I think it's Maggie who says, I don't know, tell me if she says, I don't think I need my neck anymore.
Oh, yeah, one of them says that.
That was a really funny line.
Bailey's operating and she calls Meredith. She's like, I'm very dizzy.
Yes. I think Bailey says to Amir, someone says to someone, no, this is your brain on drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny.
This chip smells like Owen. I love that Alex says he's there to do a quick checkup. Like he's there to do a pediatric, whatever.
I think.
Oh, wait, April tells Bailey about the Harper Avery and April goes, I had a Jackson Avery.
I think, let me pull this up really fast.
Arizona says Callie instead of Karina.
Oh yeah. I forgot about that. I'm just like, oh, so Kaylee, one of our listeners made a really important point.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
About DeLuca having,
hallucinations
of Sam. And I was kind of like, that doesn't happen when you smoke weed. Like,
yeah.
And then, Kaylee posted in the Facebook group, is DeLuca has undiagnosed bipolar disorder. And he shouldn't be taking substances. And I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. But he's having this different reaction.
Yes. So thank you, Kaylee, for saying that. Cause I didn't even make that connection.
It was a great one. And I have that. Oh, okay. Wait. So Alex was a foster kid. Cause he talks about that, but like, didn't he live and take care of his mom? Was he in foster care before that? I can't remember.
Whoa. I want to say something here. I want to
Yeah. Yeah.
Supposedly weed can help with anxiety from bipolar disorder.
Oh, so maybe
that was posted in the group underneath that. So maybe you can.
Yeah. So who knows? But either way,
I don't really know, but I think it is connected some way, or maybe it's not, but I don't think you really hallucinate that.
Yeah. Like, unless you have too much.
But okay.
Jenny Slate couldn't get in to her bathroom door.
But that's not hallucinating.
No, I know.
Like you can be like, oh man, yeah. I'm fucked up. But like you don't
see things.
See things.
Yeah. Either way, we don't know what we're talking about.
No, we're just, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, we learned... Okay, but it says Alex, he talks about being in foster care.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in foster care younger and then in high school?
I think he was in younger and then he like...
Moved in back with his mom?
With his mom and like helped his mom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, at one point, Alex is pretending to be the baby in the backseat. He's like voicing all the things the baby would. And what's the other part that I... Oh, Roy is just an idiot.
Oh, Roy, come on, man. You're high.
Yeah.
I wasn't surprised, but he's like, I'm suspended or whatever. And Richard was
fired.
Like, you are fired, which makes sense. I mean, if you're under a substance.
I just feel like Meredith has done a lot of bad things.
Who?
All of these characters should be fired.
Oh, I know. And this intern just immediately gets fired for being high. Yeah.
The chip smells like Owen. You're so pretty. You look like a cartoon, Maggie says to Joe.
Sometimes they look like an old man.
Yeah, when he's talking about babies. Yeah. Meredith gets her fingers. Oh, we'll talk about that in post-op. Yeah, it's great. But the taps playing is perhaps my favorite part.
Oh, Bailey also tells us that her thing is with Midnight Pleasures, Inc., a sex toy company.
Yes, and she doesn't need to win the contest because she already has a contract with a manufacturer. But yes, it's like a dildo manufacturer.
Yeah.
Which is incredible because she's so smart. She's like, it's already made to go up there.
Yeah.
So why not? So that's cool. It's a great episode. I feel like I know our listeners have been like waiting for us to get to this one.
I don't have much to say.
It is a comedic break.
Yeah.
And it is really great. I feel like
Who was it? Okay. Who was your favorite high?
I have to follow up. Who's your favorite high and who would you most be like?
Okay.
Okay. My favorite high was Alex.
Alex was very funny.
Yes. Like he was how I would like to be when I'm high.
I am a Maggie. Like, I'm going to leave this situation. She's like crawling along the wall. Like, yeah. I've never been high before. I don't know what to do. I don't need
thinking
my neck.
About food.
Her being like, I don't need my neck anymore. That is very, like yeah. me very, when and if I have been high.
Yeah.
Very much physical sensations of things. Like,
yeah.
why is my body doing that?
Yeah. I think I'm also a Maggie. I want to be an Alex.
Oh yeah. I want to be silly and like, whatever.
I could be a DeLuca. Not the hallucinations, but the laying down in a corner.
Yes, laying down silent in a yeah. corner. I'm definitely not.
When Maggie's trying to do the surgery on that fake thing and she
she's
can't
like, where's the liver? Oh, that part killed me when they said a funeral, time of death, acute liver disappearance.
yeah, that was good. I also could be Arizona and just talking.
Yeah.
Like just word vomiting, all mm-hmm. the things.
But who's your favorite?
Alex, for sure.
Alex is your favorite.
Number one.
I think Maggie was my favorite. Perfect. I think she was just...
The cheese.
The cheese. And at the end, it was just all those different types of cheeses on that board. It was great.
Great.
Do you have any other random things or should we get into notes and trivia? We are going to talk in post-op again about Joe and that surgery. So
yeah, let's get into notes and trivia.
Cool.
This episode's title originated from the song Hold Back the River, originally sung by James Bay.
James Bay, there you have it. Oh, wow. It only scored 6.84 million viewers.
The promotional stills for this episode show a party. The scene ended up being cut from the episode, but Camilla Luddington provided context about the content. It was an engagement party.
That sounds like a band name, Context About the Content.
I love that. It was an engagement party thrown for Alex and Joe, who wore a veil made out of gauze. Kimmy Park sang at the party.
The storyline with Dr. Hansen was based on the real-life case of Ferity Fata, a Lebanese hematologist-oncologist who also falsified cancer diagnosis.
Cancel him.
Yeah.
The episode's title originated from the song Beautiful Dreamer, originally composed by Stephen Foster.
It scored 6.97 million viewers.
The producers worked together with Define America, a nonprofit organization dedicated to humanizing immigrants through media. They held a meeting with the writers during which the medical students and during which the writers had a chance to hear experiences from several undocumented Americans, including medical students and representatives from pre-health dreamers.
The song Everywhere I Go, featured on this episode as a cover by Sleeping at Last, was previously used in its original version by Lissy in the season 6 episode, The Time Warp. In its original use, it was played over flashback scenes involving the beginning of Richard's alcoholism.
Full circle.
Mm-hmm.
This episode's title originated from the song Judgment Day, originally sung by Whitesnake.
It scored 6.93 million viewers.
Sarah Drew tweeted that her imitation of bagpipes was taught to her by her brother after they watched Braveheart. She told the writers about that skill at the beginning of the season.
That's funny. Ellen Pompeo revealed the standards and practices wouldn't allow Meredith Grey to be one of the characters to get high from the cookies.
I don't get that. What does that mean?
Ellen Pompeo revealed that standards and practices wouldn't allow Meredith Grey. What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know. I read that 5 times when I copied and pasted these, and I didn't know. If you guys know what standards and practices is and why the character Meredith Grey couldn't get high, I'm confused. Alex asked if Leo is getting a baby sister. This is possible foreshadowing to Teddy's pregnancy with Allison later on in the season.
In the green room, Maggie tells Joe that she looks like a cartoon character that she should look into.
She should look into it.
Oh. This is possibly a nod to actress Camilla Luddington's role as Lara Croft in Tomb Raider video games, for which she did the motion capture and voiceover work.
Crazy. Goof. April was previously revealed to be allergic to peanuts, yet she was fine after eating cookies containing peanut butter.
Oh, goof. DeLuca's badge still reads surgical intern while he has been a resident since early in the season. Okay.
Catherine Fox Award. I'm going to give it to Maggie because she gives Richard the speech to let Allie go. She becomes ungoofy and she's lovable. She makes out with Jackson and she eats cheese.
Great. You know, I'm thinking about giving it to Owen for really giving it to that doctor and becoming a foster parent and, you know, just really having his life in order.
Owen never gets it.
I'm not giving it to Owen.
We're giving it to Owen. He took down
that
fake cancer doctor.
Sarcasm.
Took down fake cancer doctor. I'm going to rate it. 7.5. It wasn't as good as the previous ones, but I was entertained.
Yeah, I feel good with that. 7.5.
Great. Thanks again for listening. We love you guys so much. Make sure if you are a patron to be listening on the Patreon app for the post-op part of the episode. And if you're not, you can join and listen to all of those. There's like a year's worth.
Yeah.
So otherwise.
Time of death.
Is
1858.
Beep. Beep.